you have your Bible, please turn to Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. I'll be reading to verse 24, but we will be focusing on verse 21. This is God's word. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. The reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired word. I have always been curious about the stock market, mainly because people can get rich so quickly, it seems. But the most striking thing I've learned about the stock market is that no one really knows whether it will go up or down. Sure, people can make informed predictions for why a certain business will do good or bad, but overall, unless you have all the knowledge in the world, unless you are God and you know everything, you cannot guarantee an investment will yield the desired dividends. So why are people so addicted to the stock market? Why are we so obsessed with something when there's really no guarantee it will work out in the end? To tell you the truth, I don't know. But what I do know is that Paul in our text provides the greatest investment opportunity, one where the payout is infinite, and in the end, it'll be as if you've never lost a penny. What I want you to take away today is union with Christ by faith will yield eternal gains of full communion and fellowship with him in the next life. In other words, to live in Christ today will result in living with Christ in glory for all eternity. I'll say that again. Union with Christ by faith will yield eternal gains of full communion and fellowship with him in the next life. In other words, to live in Christ today will result in living with Christ in glory for all eternity. Boys and girls, eternity is a long time, right? Our text is simple, but profound. Paul says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. What does it mean to live is Christ? Well, first it means to live united to Christ, to be bonded to him by the Holy Spirit. And this bond is an unbreakable bond, inseparable. And it is by union with Christ through faith that all the benefits of salvation flow from Christ to the believer. And this is key, because no faith, no union with Christ. No union with Christ, you have no spiritual life and are therefore unable to live for Christ. So it is important for us to realize as Christians that the only way to do good works at all is to be united to the one who has done all the work on your behalf. And he is the resurrection and the life. And he freely bestows spiritual life on all who would come, all who would come to him. And his name is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But for the non-believer, if Christ has not given you the Spirit, if he hasn't caused you to be born again and transferred you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, you are still dead in your sins. You are unable to do good. You know the verse, Romans 3, 10 through 12. It tells us, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And this should terrify you. You who would not believe in Christ, that's scary. It should make you run like a madman out of a burning house. It should make you cry out to God, Lord, save me. Lord, give me life, lest I perish in my sin. But it should also make you throw yourself on God's free love and mercy. This is not why Christ died. To bring dead people to life, to save those who by nature continually go to God's law for life, dying 1,000 deaths under its weight. Because that's what the law does. It kills. Even now, many of us here, like in this room right here, me included, people in this congregation right here, struggle to trust the sufficiency of Christ's righteousness over our own intellectual capacity or our own work ethic when Christ is willing to give you everything needed for this life. And what you need is him. And when you put your faith in Christ and realize the glory it is to be irrevocably united to him, you will say with Paul, to live is Christ. And it'll be a breath of fresh air. Because we will no longer operate like this verse says, to live is Cliff. Or to live is insert your own name. We tend to do that, don't we? And I mean, Christians, we can think or act like my life is about me and my goals and my aspirations. So I must do it myself. I must pull myself up by my bootstraps. I must leave my house. I must leave my family. I must take care of my kids. I. But we don't come right out and say it though, do we? But we can sure act like it, right? Friends, what a heavy burden that is to live like that. To live for yourself or whatever false idol you have. To have to be pleasing to yourself all the time. Don't let your daily responsibilities, which are very real, by the way. Like we have responsibilities, right? They're real. But don't let them cause you to forget where your life comes from. Where does our life come from? What do we typically say in the morning services? Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Only in Christ, it is only in Christ, being filled with his Spirit, can we truly do what is pleasing in the eyes of God. With his Spirit, godliness is not only possible, but something to be desired and enjoyed as we experience the very life of Christ in our soul. But if you are not in Christ, I'm pleading with you. I'm urging you to receive him today. He's here for the taking. Receive him. Then you will know what Paul means when he says to live is Christ. Christ will be in you, and you in him. And he will cause you to live that good life that I know you want. How do I know you want it? How do I know you want the good life? Well, everyone wants the good life, right? Christians, non-Christians. Since the fall, that's what we've wanted. Now, the question is, what is the good life? And how does this good life address the deep felt needs of any given person? Well, the good life is the life that conforms to God's law because of a vital personal union to Christ. It is a life that lives in Christ and hopes to be with Christ for all eternity. This is the good life. So you want the good life? Believe his gospel. Be united to Christ. Are you burdened under the weight of sin? Christ offers forgiveness in him. Are you a workaholic and work tirelessly and don't know when to stop? Christ will give you rest in him. Friends, there is no aspect of our sinful human experience that union with Christ is unable to remedy. Now, the Christian gets to taste his good life firsthand. This is because we view God's law in a different light. The same law that convicts us of sin is a rule and guide for the Christian. But it is unable to condemn them to hell. It serves as a rule, helping us to measure how well we imitate Christ. It is a guide instructing us how to live in service to God on our way to the heavenly home. Experiencing the joy of the Spirit's work as he conforms us into the perfect image of Christ. That is beautiful. That's beautiful. And it is one of the many benefits of being united to Christ. And I realize that some of you may be wondering, well, this sounds good and all, Brother Cliff, but my family is dysfunctional. I work long, hard hours, and I barely have time for the kids. My body and mind aren't like they used to be. And I can't just sit around all day and read Puritans. I have a lot of things to get done. Well, can I encourage you today? You sitting out there, can I encourage you today? Your value in the kingdom of God is not based on how many boxes you can check off your to-do list. It is not based on how much you can get done in a day, but rather comes from Christ. It comes from Christ, your life. And he reigns victoriously over your sin, over your work issues, over your dysfunctional family. And just as surely as he is raised in glory, right now, you will be sanctified in this life. And you will be consummately united with him forever in eternity. In fact, Paul makes the exact same point in chapter 1. He says, you don't have to turn there, but he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God promises to be with you. He promises to keep you. And he will see to it that you bear fruit for his name. This is going to look different for everyone at every stage of life. Look down with me at verse 20, though. Paul says, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. You see, Paul, he has this holy disregard for himself. For him, it didn't matter whether he lived or died. He was living for Christ. To live is Christ. For Paul meant being beaten within an inch of his life, mocked, put in jail, and constantly persecuted for the sake of Christ. But he knew something far greater was waiting for him. And Christian, if you put your faith in Christ, there is something far greater waiting for you too. Now, your obedience today might like I said, look different than Paul's. You might not be going through intense persecution that he and the apostles were going through. But at every stage of life, you'll be able to, one, pray. You'll be able to love and shine the light of Christ onto other people. And all these things, they're important, they're valuable, and they bring glory to God. Because who can't pray? Who in here can't pray? Who cannot love? Who cannot shine the light of Christ onto others right now? You hear that, boys and girls? You can do those three things too. And Christ did them while he was on earth. And by doing them, you resemble him and reveal yourself to be a child of God as you grow in Christ's likeness. Maybe it's waking up early and praying for the salvation of your family. Or you are a phenomenal builder, phenomenal student, phenomenal mom. And it makes others think, man, there is something different about them. They're just different. The way they carry themselves, the way they care for other people. They have something. I don't have it. I want what they have. It can look like many things, but if you have air in your lungs and the Holy Spirit is in you, God is gradually perfecting you so that you might look more and more like Jesus. And no matter where you are in life, for you to look like Jesus is what everyone in this world needs. Believers and unbelievers, everybody, they need you to look more and more like Jesus. So when Paul says to live as Christ, he means his entire existence is wrapped up in his Savior. Paul is united to Christ. His life is patterned after Christ. He does everything to glorify Christ. And he has assurance that he will be with Christ when he dies. Which leads us to the latter half of verse 21. To die is gain. What does the Christian gain by death? Seems weird, right? That you could gain anything by dying? What do we gain by death? There's this popular rapper named Drake. I don't know if any of you have heard of him. His net worth is about $150 million. And Drake wrote this song with some very interesting lyrics. He says, in my next life, I'm trying to stay paid. When I die, put my money in the grave. That's weird, right? But what is Drake saying here? What is the point he is making? Well, he's saying his life is so wrapped up in his money. He loves his money. He loves it so much that you might as well bury him with it. He lived with his money. He wants to die with his money. His money is his life. So to not have it in death, that would be devastating for him. It would be the loss of everything, loss of all things. What? He's dead, but it doesn't take much to realize how foolish this is. Because what exactly would his money do for him in a casket, right? And yet, there's something true in the exact opposite way for the Christian. The Christian lives in Christ. Christ is their life. They live for Christ. Christ is so important to them. For them to live is Christ. But when they die, they don't lose him. And he doesn't abandon them. By death, the Christian gains everything. And the reality of dying united to Christ is so much greater than being buried with money that you can never spend again. For the Christian, death consists of two things. You can write these down. And I know what you're thinking. Well, the two things are loss and gain. And like I said before, loss... What is this deal with loss and gain? I thought I wouldn't be losing anything as a Christian. I thought I would be gaining everything. Well, it depends on how we define loss. For example, let's say you invest $5 into the stock market, and in about 5 days, your investment is $1,000. Are you going to say, man, I really lost $5. I miss having that $5 bill. I mean, Abraham Lincoln was on it, and this is great having that $5 bill. No. You're going to be happy about the $1,000, and you'll forget about the $5. In fact, you'll probably say, it was good that you lost the $5 so that you would gain the $1,000. So it is with the Christian and death. First, when the Christian dies, they lose their sin nature and are rid of all pain and suffering. Secondly, the Christian gains an overwhelming sense of joy and happiness when they see their Savior face to face. You see, Drake and all these celebrities are going to gain millions of dollars on this earth, but if they don't repent and believe the gospel, they will lose every penny and their soul. Can't even put a number on that. The Christian, on the other hand, is going to lose their sin nature, pain, and suffering, and gain glory. And they will be with Christ forever. I mean, what a deal. What a deal. What an investment opportunity. Who in here wouldn't take that? You give your filth and your hardships to Christ, and he will give you glory. You cast your cares on him, and he will give you all the love and care you will ever need in this life and the next life. Only the Christian can say death is gain, because they die in Christ. They will lose everything that's bad. They lose all the bad, the sin, the corrupt nature, the pain of this life, the suffering. But this will only add to the loveliness of heaven, where none of those things are present. And all of us know how tiring and exhausting those three things make us in this life, right? But we live our day-to-day life in Christ. This does not remove us from life's pain and sorrow. We suffer just as Christ suffered. People die. Our bodies, they ache. And they bruise as time goes on. We do very bad things and we hurt people. And yet, given all of that, in heaven, every tear will be wiped away. God is keeping your tears in his bottle. He's keeping every tear, he's keeping track of them. Every bruise and break will be healed. Every broken relationship put back together. Your body in the new heavens and new earth will have the capacity to sing loud praises to God for all eternity. I'm glad about it. I can't sing, so I can't wait for that. Your arms and legs will be strong. They'll be strong and sturdy, and your mind able to receive a greater revelation of God's love toward you. When I was a sophomore in college, I played football, and I broke my foot pretty bad, actually. It was the worst pain of my life. And I was on crutches for a very long time, and I had to wear a boot. It was just an all-around bad experience. And to this day, I think I still walk with a little bit of a limp. I still have this scar, and sometimes it just starts hurting randomly. But praise God, heaven will not have any of those nagging injuries we experience in this life. As Christians, we look forward to gaining a glorified body. But most importantly, heaven is heaven because Christ is there. We gain a greater, fuller revelation of Christ. You take Christ out of heaven, and it would be hell. Nevertheless, that moment you set your eyes on him, when you look at your Savior, nothing else will matter. Those earthly trials will fade away. The family arguments, the marital problems, the physical exhaustion, all will grow dim when you see Christ as he really is. And he's wonderful. We read about it in his word, right? And he will have the biggest grin on his face. Sometimes we think, well, when we get to heaven, Christ will somehow be mad or be disappointed of your performance here on earth, which, if we're honest, it isn't as good as we would like it to be. Let me tell you today that if you put your faith in Jesus, there's nothing but love for you up there. All love. In fact, I can say without a doubt that he will be happier to see you than you will be to see him. Did you catch that? Let me say it again. He will be happier to see you than you will be to see him. Now, why can I make such a bold claim? Because if sin in your life today cannot stop God from loving you, lavishing his grace on you, and making his face to shine upon you, why would it be different in heaven when your sin nature is obliterated and you shine brighter than 10,000 stars? Friends, if you are in Christ, that is where you're headed. If you are living with Christ now, you will be with him forever in glory. You will be made perfect. And I can't wait to see you on that great day. This is your future, Christian. But if you haven't believed in Christ, believe him today. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Christ, he'll have you. Christ would have you. He offers himself to you. And those who come to him, what do we know? He'll never cast them out. Well, what does it take? What do you have to do? This is free grace. How do you receive it? You say, Lord, I can't do it. This is good. This is glory. But I can't. I know I'm bad. I know I'm bad. I know I'm a sinner. I don't have it in me. I need help from somewhere else. I need help from above. I need divine help. Friends, cry out to God. If you're a Christian, cry out to him. If you're not a Christian, cry out to God. Say, give me life. That's what I want. Who in here wants life? Abundant life. Christ will give it to you if you come to him. He'll give it to you. He's so good. He's so good. I leave you with this. Samuel Rutherford says, they lose nothing who gain Christ, which is kind of, he said it in a cooler way. I've been saying it this entire time, but I just urge you to gain an interest in Christ now. And it'll be as if you've never lost a thing. And you will say with Paul, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have done so much for us in Christ Jesus. You sent him to this earth for sinners, for the weak, for the weary, for those who need a Savior. And that's everyone, Lord. Everyone needs a Savior. And Christ offers himself to us. Help us to, by your Spirit, receive that today. Help us to love to a greater degree. We know that we cannot do it ourselves. It must come from you. So help us to do that which is required of us, all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.